Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. Hello, Cashflow Ninjas. MC Lobsher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today. In today's show, we're going to look at how you can increase your real estate cash flow through value-added strategies. My guest in this episode is Brian Burke. Brian is president and CEO of Praxis Capital, Inc., a vertically integrated real estate private equity investment firm, which he founded in 2001. Brian is also a member of the Praxis Investment Committee. Praxis operates on multiple platforms, currently managing active syndications for the acquisition of single-family, multifamily, and opportunistic residential assets in the United States growth markets. Over the course of a real estate investment career that began in 1989, the offerings Brian manages have acquired over 750 properties, including over 2,500 multifamily units with the assistance of proprietary software that he wrote himself. Acquired asset classes include single-family homes, self-storage, mixed-use, and large apartment complexes in multiple states. Brian has arranged well over $450 million in debt and equity for Praxis acquisitions. Praxis' current portfolio exceeds $200 million of real estate assets under management. I've launched another podcast, Cashflow Investing Secrets. It's a shorter show, 10 minutes or less, where I share one concept and or idea at a time that I've learned from interviewing over 500 Cashflow Ninjas. You could go to your favorite podcast, video, or live streaming platform and simply type in Cashflow Investing Secrets and you'll find the show. Other valuable resources I can offer is access to a private Facebook group. Search Cashflow Ninja Community on Facebook to join us. And also access to our exclusive investor community. You can email me at info@cashflowninja.com for more information. On October 25th, there's another Learn and Grow event at the historic Renault Winery in Southern New Jersey, just outside of Atlantic City. The event is hosted by Josh and Melanie McKellen, and it is a fantastic quarterly event to meet and network with fantastic people, learn from speakers and from the other attendees, and get to enjoy amazing food and wine and white American champagne. I'm super excited to be involved in this resort rehab project and am attending the event with people from my meetup, my investors group, and other Cashflow Ninja listeners. And it would be awesome if you could join us at this event. This is a resort, so if you're traveling there, there is a hotel to stay at on the property, along with all the other amenities such as the spa, restaurants, golf course, wedding venues, and of course, the winery. You can email me for more information at info@cashflowninja.com about this event. Savvy investors know that in order for the miracle of compounding interest to work, its magic, you have to be constantly invested in all stages of the economic cycle. So the question then becomes, how do you find solid investments when the stock market is close to all-time highs and everything else just seems so inflated? That's where our friends at ASIM Capital come in. Since 2011, ASIM has helped more than 300 accredited investors allocate more than $25 million to mobile home parks, self-storage, and workforce housing due to their ability to perform well during economic recessions. If you're interested in learning more, head on over to asymcapital.com. That's asymcapital.com to get instant access to their investment offerings. MC Lobsher, the creator of the Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Coach at Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate infinite banking with their business and investments. To learn how you can create your own banking system to turbocharge your investments and business in 30 days or less, go to yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, glad to connect and looking forward to our conversation. Brian, for listeners not familiar with you and what you do, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey?
Yeah, my background is, I've been investing in real estate for about 30 years. And I started when I was, in my early 20s and started out as a, kind of the way everybody does, flipping houses. And, it all started with one single house, right? And then I built that business up while I was still working, and took me about a decade. And I finally said, you know what, the job is getting in the way of the real estate, so I got to hang that up and turned to investing in real estate full time. That was about, almost 20 years ago, and never looked back since. So after that, stayed in the house flipping business, and then got into multifamily and started buying apartment complexes. And, we've done just about everything, all the way from single family home construction, built a self storage facility, done hospitality properties, and real estate development, subdivisions. It's almost kind of feels like there's nothing I haven't done in real estate, but our core competency is value add multifamily real estate in several markets across the U.S.
From a philosophical approach to building wealth and wealth creation, and obviously real estate, what are some of the building blocks that you use, and is there a framework and a checklist that you draw upon from making decisions?
Well, the framework that I base my decisions off of is, 30 years of making mistakes and learning from them. I like to say I have a PhD from the School of Hard Knocks because, as you go through all these different phases of your real estate career, you're inevitably going to make mistakes, and hopefully you learn from those and don't do the same thing over again. So my decisions are mostly made based off of a framework of, what can I do to make sure that this investment doesn't injure me? That's always the first thing we want to look at. It's not so much about, how are we going to make money on this deal? It's about, how do we structure this to minimize the downside so we don't lose any money? That's number one. And then number two, because that's always my first job. Number two then is, how do we make money with this business plan or with this asset? So all decisions are basically centered around those key concepts.
And what you guys are currently doing, what markets are you guys currently operating in over the U.S.? What markets are attractive, and what are you guys looking for in a good, solid market?
We currently own assets in several areas of California, which we'll be selling out of and hopefully never come back. And then we also own in Arizona, Texas, Georgia, and Florida. We're looking to expand positions in all of those markets, as well as the Carolinas, even Nashville, Tennessee, and, a few other southeastern markets.
Gotcha. And what's currently, so you're leaving California, maybe you can elaborate reasons why you guys are leaving, and what's going on in the other markets that you guys are in? Obviously different markets differ, so it's always interesting to get an insight for folks operating in certain markets, what they're seeing, to get kind of a feel of what's going on.
Well, this is only a 1-hour show, so you don't want me to answer reasons for leaving California to stay in the time constraints that you have. Why don't we try to find a reason to stay in California? Okay, that's done. There's no reason to invest here. And now they just passed statewide rent control, and the political system here is just totally screwed up, and there's just really no reason to invest in California. Prices have gone too high. I just can't find any reason economically or for any other reason to do it. Having said that, there's a lot of opportunity in markets where people are moving to, and that's really what we're looking for. If you look at population migration patterns, and you're seeing people leaving California and New York and going to places like Las Vegas, Phoenix, Dallas, Austin, Atlanta, Orlando, Tampa, Research Triangle, Charlotte. People are going to all of those areas, and we want to invest in markets where population is moving to, not where population is moving from.
Gotcha. And you touch on a huge trend, and this is not really covered a lot in, mainstream media, but there's a mass migration going on of folks leaving states such as California, which is just, you know, very, very sad to see what's going on there. New York, New Jersey, Illinois are, you know, the favorite ones to pick on, I guess. But those are mass migrations there, and they're moving. And this is definitely going to shape a lot of the real estate markets in this country.
Yeah, it already is starting to do that. You know, your development is heavy in those areas. Population inward migration is very heavy in those areas. Job growth is very heavy in those areas. Companies are moving businesses there. I think that, you know, you in 20 or 30 years, you know, everybody might be living in those markets in California, have nothing left but tents. But, you know, we'll see how that works out.
Yeah. Absolutely. What, from a deal perspective, if somebody's bringing a deal to you, how does a good deal look? What type of deals are you guys looking in the markets that you're in?
We're looking for deals that have a value add component. So what we want to see is something that we can do to improve the asset, whether that's something physical, like exterior amenity enhancements, maybe a paint job, you know, better entry sequence, signage and flags, all the way up to, you know, adding fitness centers or, you know, whatever amenities it might need, all the way down to the interior level of, you know, you walk in the front door and it looks like your grandmother's living room. It's so dated, you know, and you want to find properties where you can transform those into a more modern look where it looks like it was actually built this century. That's a big component. The other is just bad management, inexperienced owners, self-managing individuals, just all those different kinds of things. And, you know, obviously the best recipe is one that has all of those, right? You can fix up the property and better manage it. You know, those are like the holy grail.
What other value add strategies are you guys looking for? You've mentioned a couple there, but what are some of the other things besides the fixing up and so forth that you guys do as part of the asset management to increase value?
Yeah, on the asset management side, we have our own property management company. We're vertically integrated. So, you know, it's a wholly owned subsidiary of ours. We have complete control. So we set the corporate culture. We set the policies and procedures, and we just like to think that we manage better. And, you know, part of it is we've got a highly experienced team in charge of operations, and, you know, they're implementing 40 years of experience in multifamily to, give the resident the best experience possible and really streamline the operations of asset and property management. So it's really big for us to come in and take over really mismanaged property and just turn everything around. And maybe it's a whole new staff or whatever the case may be. If we can completely change the way that property is being managed, we can completely alter the income stream.
The trend of technology is, I mean, there's a lot of stuff being rolled out in real estate. What are you seeing regards to that, and especially the use of technology in asset management with some of the properties?
Well, it certainly makes things easier for us. One of the big questions we get, or the most common questions we get, is how do you manage a portfolio this large all the way across the country when, you know, you're based in California? And it's a fair question, and it's a good question. And the answer is technology today allows you to do a lot of things a lot more efficiently and effectively, than it did in the years past. So, you know, we have fully integrated institutional grade software platforms for both property management and asset management where, you know, we're all of our properties are connected into the same system, into a centralized accounting. That gives us some top-level dashboard reporting where I can literally log in right now and see what's happening at all of our properties on a single dashboard. We can log in and view live real-time camera video footage at properties almost as if we were there looking out the window. So there's just so much more ability technologically to oversee what's going on and know what the problems are or what potential future problems are remotely than there used to be many, many years ago.
Yeah, it's quite interesting how real estate is now, all real estate has basically become local just through the use of technology.
It is, and there's more data available too. You know, it's so much easier now to figure out, you know, median incomes and school ratings and, you know, crime statistics and, you know, all this stuff that is available on the desktop from anywhere in the world, where before, you know, it was a trip to the police department and, you know, visiting school districts and, you know, trying to pour your way through Census Bureau data. And, you know, it's just become so much easier to study micro markets than it was before, you know, before the internet was around to do all that for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've mentioned the trend of migration. Obviously, there's the big demographic trend happening, just not in the U.S., but globally. What are other things that you're looking at with regards to real estate trends impacting your business in the next year, in the next couple of coming years? And what do you see out there?
Well, you know, demographic trends. So there's, I always say there's two cycles, right? There's an economic cycle and there's a demographic cycle, and they're different from one another very distinctively in a lot of ways. But the important way is an economic cycle can, you know, it can switch course rapidly. It can be really unpredictable. The peak to trough can be short in time, where, you know, it falls quickly or climbs quickly, and it's very hard to time an economic cycle. The other one is the demographic cycle, and this is the one to me that's most interesting, because if you look at like Buffalo, New York, for example, and you looked at a population chart of Buffalo, New York, you would see that for almost 100 years, population was increasing. And then over the course of about 25 years, it shifted from increasing to decreasing. And then for this next 75 years, it's been falling. And, you know, what you see by that is you see that a demographic trend is very long in the tooth. It usually lasts for a long time, and it's very slow for it to shift direction. So if we're investing in markets that have been growing for a long time and have all outward appearances that they're going to continue growing, it's very likely that, you know, those trends, when and if they do reverse, that they reduce or reverse very slowly and give you time to reallocate and rebalance your portfolio into the next market that's on the upcycle. And I think it's really important to invest that way instead of always trying to chase your tail with trying to figure out the economic cycle. If you you can hedge your bets by playing the demographic cycle.
You're listening to The Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Kings, queens, and royal families, along with the nobility and ultra-rich, have warehoused and stored their wealth for centuries in gold and silver, art, land, and real estate. These assets have stood the test of time through centuries and have been a great place to preserve and protect their wealth. Like gold, silver, land, and real estate, art has been around for centuries and will be around for many, many more centuries. That's why the ultra-rich will continue to invest in art and preserve their wealth in art. While the S&P declined 5.1% in 2018, the art market returned 10.6% and was called the best investment of 2018 by the Wall Street Journal. Masterworks is the first company to allow investors to buy shares of great blue chip art masterpieces by artists like Picasso, Monet, and Warhol. You can get set up on their platform at cashflowninja.com/art.
My friend Dave Zook from The Real Asset Investor says you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. The Real Asset Investor team creates value for investors looking for higher yield returns from ATM machines and self-storage investments. Their syndications offer attractive investment opportunities that produce strong cash flow, equity growth, huge tax incentives. They are truly passive and managed by a world-class team. To learn more about the exciting investment opportunities The Real Asset Investor offers, such as their ATM and self-storage syndications, please visit cashflowninja.com/realassetinvestor. You're listening to The Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. Now let's return to our interview. Very interesting. One of the things that you mentioned as well was that there's a lot of projects that there's investors, other investors such as family offices in a lot of your projects as well, besides high net worth individuals. Can you speak to some of the strategies that you employ for raising capital for our other real estate investors out there might be able to pick up a couple of golden nuggets as far as high net worth individuals and then also the family office game, because that's obviously a completely different ball game.
It is. And, you know, it's really like a country club membership. You know, you can't get into a country club unless you get two letters of reference and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It's like the same thing in the family office world. I mean, you don't go to a family office and say, hey, we're investing in real estate. Check out our platform. And, you know, can I get a meeting with you and that sort of stuff? It really is entirely word of mouth and referral. And the only way a family office invests with you is if they know somebody else that is or has heard about you from somebody else that they already trust. So, you know, for us, our capital raising strategy is kind of a non-strategy. I always joke, I'm like, I'm the worst marketer in the country, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't do anything. I don't send out like emails and we don't like, you know, I'm not sitting there on Facebook posting stuff all the time. And, you know, we just literally hired a social media person to like put stuff on our Facebook page a couple months ago. I mean, it's like, that's how behind the times we are. I mean, really what we do is we rely entirely on word of mouth and referrals, and our investor base has grown completely from word of mouth and referrals and just people finding out about us through, you know, maybe they read about us in a newspaper article or, you know, saw us in the, you know, out in the media, or they know someone that invests with us, or they saw posts I'm putting on Bigger Pockets, or heard me on a podcast like this one. You know, it's that kind of stuff where people come to us. We really do almost no outreach. It's almost just about, you know, fielding inbound leads that want to invest with us.
That's in a nice position to be, right?
So you it become is, but the it magnet. Yeah, but it takes 20 years to get there. I mean, so, you know, I was there once where, you know, I was trying to figure out how am I going to get in this business? How are we going to expand and grow? I was really impatient and wanted to, you know, to force it and be like, you know, how do we go out and get investors? And it used to be really frustrating because it would be so difficult for me to go raise 400 grand. You know, It was really, really challenging. You know, and now we did an offering, I think it was like earlier this year, where we literally raised $8.5 million in 30 hours and with one email. And so, you know, but you don't start that way. You know, it takes a long time to build that because investing is all about trust. And the only reason that people come to us is because they trust us. And the only reason they trust us is because we haven't violated that trust and we've shown that we're trustworthy. And, you know, as they say, it takes, you know, a lifetime to build trust and seconds to destroy it. And, you know, that's why I've been doing this 30 years and our business is just now starting to take off. I'm not, you know, a Joe Fairless kind of marketer where, you know, guy's brilliant and, you know, he can go out and raise millions and millions very quickly because he knows how to market. We didn't have that advantage. We had to build it the old fashioned way.
Yeah. And that's a very, very big lesson for a lot of folks out there because you have to play the long game. You have to think long term about these things. You know, one of the coaching programs that I'm involved with, we have a 25 year game that we're playing. So yeah, you're right. Thinking in terms of 25 years and it's going to shift your entire mindset because now all of a sudden you're going to do things now that's going to play out over 25 years and be valuable over 25 years instead of just trying to get the quick hits and the quick turns, which is might work in the short term, but over the long term, you know, not necessarily bear the fruits that you want.
Well, the funny thing about that is that the participants in that game have no idea how relevant it really is because there's a lot of things I've done over the years in my career where I wonder, you know, why am I doing this? I mean we had this one property one time where, you know, it was right when the great financial collapse hit And, you know, we had that thing at like 99% occupied. Then, you know, when Bear Stearns falls and Lehman collapses and all that stuff happened and people were losing jobs left and right, you know, our property emptied out. I mean, we got down to like 60% occupancy. And I used to joke that half the tenants that, you know, half the units are empty and the other half aren't paying, you know. And so, you know, I was making the mortgage payment out of my own pocket, 15 grand a month. And I did this for like 4 years. Just to save my investors so they didn't lose money. And I used to, I'd question myself and say like, why am I doing this? This is so stupid. You know, I've put so much money into servicing this loan payment. I could have gathered it all up and just sent it to my investors and gave them their money back, right? Or everybody could have just took a loss and we all moved on. But, you know, as much as you want to ask, you know, why am I doing this? This is crazy and it makes no sense. Here I am, you know, 10 years later, I can look back on that and say, you know what? If I would have let that thing go into foreclosure, I wouldn't have been able to get more loans. If I didn't get more loans, I wouldn't be where I am today. If I would have lost my investors' money, I wouldn't be able to say that in 30 years in this business, I've never lost my investors' money. You know, there's just things like that that at the time you don't understand its gravity. But now looking back on it, I can tell you the things that you're doing in that group where you're focusing on what might benefit you 20 years from now will one day come back. And you'll understand exactly how important it really was.
Yep. And it's then it's easier to connect the dots then too, right? Than trying to connect dots into the future.
Absolutely.
What are some of the other lessons? I mean, this is a very inspirational story for all of the entrepreneurs and real estate entrepreneurs out there and investors around that flawed financial collapse. Because, I mean, it literally shook the financial world and rocked it. What were some of the other lessons that you learned from that that you're taking with you?
Well, I learned that when things don't go your way, it hurts a lot. I learned that things don't always go your way. I learned you can never be too conservative. I learned you never want to have too much debt. I learned that if you can, if the people who survived the downturn were the ones that had less leverage than the ones that did not survive. I learned how to completely revamp the way I approached and underwrote income producing real estate. It completely changed my perspective. So, you know, one of the things that that newer investors have to consider now is that, you know, they've never been through an adverse cycle if they're just getting started. In fact, anybody that's been in this business less than 10 years has never seen anything other than an upward cycle. And memories are short. It's really easy to forget how painful an adverse cycle can be. And if you never saw one, you wouldn't even know how painful it is. So it's just really important to keep in mind how powerful outside forces can be as they work against your goals and your business plan and have respect for it. And once you've lived through it, you will change the way you invest. Even if you think you're doing it right now, you'll find that you're going to change everything you're doing after you've felt that kind of pain.
Mentorship and learning from others has played a big role in a lot of folks' journey. Can you speak to the role that mentorship and coaching has helped you and personal development on your journey?
I wish I could, but I've never done it. And, you know, I probably should have. You know, I would imagine that I've probably lost enough money from my own mistakes, my own money from my own mistakes, to have paid for coaching programs 50 times over that maybe if I was in one, you know, a coach would have prevented me from getting into. But having not been through the experience, I can't speak to it. I mean, it's very possible they might have been going rah, rah, rah right behind me and just followed me right into the rabbit hole. So yeah. It's hard for me to say. You know, I learned everything I know by the school of hard knocks and trial and error. And, you know, as much as I tried to learn by reading books, what I came to find out is that there's only one time you're paying attention to any lesson, and that's when it's costing you money. And, you know, everything else is just noise. So, you know, I don't know. It's a really good question. I wish I could answer that one better for you.
No, the answer is good too, because like you said, when you're losing money, all of a sudden that becomes important to figure out and solve that problem. when it's taking money out of your pockets. What are some of the things that are working in your life personally and professionally and in business, and why do they work?
Oh, boy. Well, I think what's working for us right now, you know, our multifamily business is working really well right now, and it's in part because we have a very robust investor base, and I think that's because we've built a lot of trust with our investors. That's working very well for us. Hopefully that doesn't change. So far it has not, and I don't expect that it will, but that's the big thing that that I have a lot of gratitude for right now, is that, you know, from a business perspective, things are working out just as they should. You know, we're seeing increased deal flow because we've built a good track record with sellers and brokers. We're seeing good inbound traffic from new investors, which is good because it helps us fuel those purchases of those deals that we're finding. And so it seems like right now everything is firing on all cylinders. And, you know, I just find it takes years and years to get there. And it's funny. It's like once it clicks, it clicks. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the stuff that you're studying and learning right now that you're looking at?
I haven't studied or learned anything in a year because I've been spending the last year writing a book. So that has been all consuming, and I just literally finished it and sent the second revision back to the publisher like 4 days ago. And so, you know, that's been very consuming for me. I mean, it's enough that I'm running a, you know, multi-$100 million company, you know, and we're buying 1,000 units this year and, you know, and all these other things, but then to throw writing a book on top of it was quite quite an undertaking. So I haven't had a lot of time to spend learning new things, but thank goodness now that that's done, maybe I can turn my focus back to that. And I'm about to go on vacation, and I'm bringing some books with me to read this time, which is going to be kind of nice.
Yeah, well, definitely enjoy that. And a core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations, and we're only allowed to pass on 3 principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Wow, interesting question. You know, I'll dig from some of the lessons in my book, because it's all about how to invest in passive real estate investments. And I think that investing, you know, making wise investment choices is a big one. You know, don't screw up and lose. You know, it's hard enough to earn money, but boy, it's so easy to lose money, so much easier to lose money than make it. So I think just making wise choices is probably one of the bigger ones. I think another piece would be to give back, you know, and give back to your community. And we're doing that in a number of ways. Most importantly is our charity, A Hero's Home, where, you know, we're raising money from all sorts of people. A lot of real estate investors have been donating, and, you know, we're going to be giving away a fully fixed up, renovated house, free and clear, to a deserving U.S. Service member or veteran or first responder. And I think that's really exciting to be able to give back to the people that give up their lives to protect our lives. So I think, you know, giving back is key. You know, just making sure that you have a work-life balance and, you know, spend time with those that you care about and not just work all the time. And it's really hard for a guy like me to say don't work all the time, because I feel like all I ever do is work all the time. But I still manage to carve out those all important times to connect and disconnect, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Brian, where can listeners learn more about you and your company, and where can they follow you, and where can they stay informed of all of the projects that you're involved with?
Well, a number of ways, I suppose. One way that people can find me is like on biggerpockets.com. I participate in the forums there frequently and post answers to questions that people post in the forums on biggerpockets.com. I'm going to be a speaker at the Mid-Atlantic Summit coming up in late October. in Philadelphia. So that's kind of exciting. I think also, you know, on our website, which is praxcap.com, it's praxcap.com. On our website, you know, there's information about what we're doing, as well as links to our various social media channels that we're actually now doing something with that we didn't do before. And that's probably where.
Fantastic. Well, I'm super excited to meet you at the Mid-Atlantic Summit. I'll be there as well and speaking. So super excited to connect with you there in person. But thank you so much for coming on the show and providing so much value for my listeners and just sharing your journey and so much knowledge with them.
Yeah, happy to do it. I appreciate you having me on. It's been a real honor. Thank you.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the $1 billion blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
Thank you again for joining me on the Cashflow Ninja. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here, please subscribe, rate, and write a review for our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com. I want to thank you for spending your most precious resource with me today, your time. Until next time, my friend, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.